The Jerry Agar Show continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hey, Mark Chewy in for Jerry Agar today. Jerry will be back Monday, just taking a day off. I am starting to lose hope this pandemic is ever going to end. And I have to wonder, am I the only one? Really? Could it be just me alone? My guest is John Wright. He's the Executive Vice President of Maru and one of my favorite pollsters. John, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Mark.
So you came out with at least the latest iteration of a new poll, which has some interesting insights in terms of how Canadians are feeling about the pandemic. I'll tell you how I'm feeling, and you tell me if my sense is in line with what Canadians are. I'm feeling less optimistic now than I have at any point during the pandemic. I just don't feel governments know what they're doing. I don't think the medical experts know what they're doing. I don't see anybody setting an objective or any leadership arising from anywhere. I don't think we're ever going to get out of this pandemic unless something big changes at the top. How do Canadians feel? Am I alone in this?
No, you're not alone. I mean, Canadians feel really pessimistic at the moment, especially brought on by the third wave. We had the most optimism probably since the outset of the pandemic in March, where 45%, can you believe it or not, felt actually positive. 45%, we got up to that. But up until that, we'd been about a third of the public feeling optimistic. So we're back down now because of the impact of the pandemic. And I think that the only thing that's going to make people feel optimistic, as it has in our tracking of this stuff in the United Kingdom and in the United States, is when we reach a certain threshold where enough people have vaccines that we begin to see evidence that things are clearing up in hospitals and that we have the confidence that we've got, you know, we've met the battle and won it for the most part on the ground. But I don't think we're going to do that until we get to about, you know, what the National Health Service in the UK did was about two thirds of people who had a vaccine and then a quarter who had a double dose. And then all of a sudden there was evidence of hospitals clearing up and people being able to open up with some confidence. So I think we're almost there. But right now the third wave has really put us back down quite a bit.
So you're tracking this in Canada. You're also tracking it in the UK and the US. How do we compare?
Well, let's look at the other two and where they are. First of all, the National Health Service had a press conference in the United Kingdom last Wednesday, which I thought was very telling. They were able to go on national television and say, look, this is where we are. And they showed, you know, the number of jabs that people had had. And as I said, it was two thirds for one and a quarter for the other. But then they showed a series of slides that actually showed the hospitals clear. ICU is clear. The rate of infection, virtually nothing. In certain states in the United States, that's been the case, but we've watched continuously. If it's not been on a daily basis, we've seen, you know, on a weekly basis, infection rates come down and certain states start to open up based on how low they are. Now, there's places like Michigan that are not. The thing that's changed, you know, for some people has been the variants, which are more predatory and they are, you know, affecting lower aged people. But the reality is that they are about 20 to 25 points ahead in optimism. And if you ask them about whether the economy is moving ahead and it's on the right track, they're about 3.5 months ahead of us. And they're also about 20 to 25 points ahead of us on those measures. Canada is a real laggard, but the other two countries, and you can see the inflection point, Mark. It comes around when roughly 50% of the people have got the jab. You see an inflection point in both of those other countries where it begins to move forward on a whole series of other measures. And we're not there. I mean, I think we're, what, 30% or just over at the moment? So we've got a while to go before we feel a sense of momentum and freedom.
Yeah, and I just have less and less optimism that our government's going to get us to that inflection point. I mean, we have been locked down in Ontario for essentially a year. I mean, it's, you know, with the lack of freedoms and curtailing on this, nowhere else has had that kind of, you know, a radical change in the the way that we go about our lives, and it suggests to me that government doesn't have a clue what it's doing. I mean, nowhere else have they relied exclusively on lockdowns to try to get a control on this. But it's not the same across the country. Are there pockets in Canada where people feel more positive than others? Who's feeling better than Ontarians?
Well, there's only two really that feel pretty good, and that's just a majority, and that is in Quebec and in Atlantic Canada, where you've got half the population. It feels pretty optimistic. If you go outside of those two areas, then you see, you know, I can give you the numbers straight. I mean, 46% in British Columbia, 37 in Alberta, in Manitoba and Saskatchewan, it's 43, and in Ontario, it's 37. Those are optimistic views of the future, not too optimistic, I would say. And this was taken just before the variant lockdowns in the Atlantic province. So Quebec has always been a bit of an anomaly, even when things are going really badly there in long-term care or in any other area of their province, the premier has remained incredibly popular, either the second or the third most popular in the country on any given day, usually number one up until recently. And secondly, they've been the most optimistic. They are a complete anomaly to the rest of the country. So right now, we're a pretty pessimistic group. I would say, though, that there's demographically differences. Women are more pessimistic than men. If you are younger and you are less income and you are single and if you are with kids in your household, so they're a little bit different demographics. If you have those commonalities, you are much more pessimistic than if you were older and if you have money to secure who you are in your older age and if you live with a family, those are, you know, your spouse, you're more optimistic. So a lot of it is also driven demographically.
Yeah, when I look into drilling down into some of your data, I mean, it looks like, you know, how the pandemic is impacting Canadians. Mental health is way up there. Mm-hmm. Money is a big issue. Obviously, physical health as well. But, you know, what are those common core areas that are really concerning people? And I don't think, like, my guess is we would find, and maybe you have done this sort of segmentation, there's two groups of Canadians. There's those who have been able to work from home and or, you know, are essential workers, and they may be continuing to make as much money as they always have, maybe even saving more. And then there's a whole swack of people who are destitute.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, think of it this way. 47% of people in the province of Ontario have actually saved more money this year than at any other time in their lives. 47% have managed to pay down debt, save lots of money. The people who were most affected, when I started doing polling on this, was actually the first week of February of last year. We had 23% who thought that they might get COVID. This past week, it was 70%. So we've escalated this a lot. But the first people to be affected were those people who were young, in the service industries, who were, didn't have much money and much education, and they literally fell off the cliff during the first weeks. The people who were able to deal with it much better and handle it were people who were of 55 plus range, who clearly have more retired people and higher income. The people who've been struggling the most have been right smack in the middle. And, you know, you don't say that the kids at the front end or the young people at the front end or the millennials weren't struggling, but the people who have tried to struggle the most through this have been those with families. And they are the middle income, middle people who had to pay the rent. Not everybody could work from home. Maybe one was working from home. They got a lot of government relief at the beginning, but there's, you know, for most of us, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But for some of them, that tunnel looks pretty dark when you start thinking about what they're going to have to pay and how the mortgage is going to have to be dealt with and things like that.
So, and that light is attached to a steam engine rolling its way down on them.
Well,
pollster John Wright from Maru, thanks very much. We could go on at length about this, but certainly a lot of grist for politicians who are all facing elections within the next 6 weeks to 18 months. Nobody wants to go to the polls with two-thirds of Canadians feeling negative. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Mark.